And then, yeah, okay.
Okay.
You just turned it.
Okay. So each of form have good side, and have that some side not really perfect, not good, interesting. So I pick up something interesting, and if there's something not existed, so I would like to creative. So I do it. For instance, as form, already in Death of Oedipus, because in both tradition, Western tradition, Chinese opera tradition, musicians always their character is accompanying the scene, play the music. Even in some contemporary productions, some directors put music on stage, but they still play music. They don't involve in drama as character. So in this place, I wanted to break this border. I asked them, because they join as chorus musician, use right. Their voice, right. Have sympathy or have also get accused. Everything follow the drama, they really involve the drama. Also in the original libretto, I want to they move on stage as well, acting as but the director in sitting in Holland didn't know how to deal with it, so we didn't do it. That's a video.
But what about just one more question on the area types in Jingju? Because you didn't like the different persons can sing the same melody. This is something that you would never use.
This is what which I want to avoid.
I
want to create a kind of thing called a character language. So it's quite clear in this one. For instance, what a crayon singing, beautiful like a folk tone, nobody does. In this
right.
one.
And in Life on a String, do you think it's similar? But it's not the same idea as kind of a leitmotif for.
No. You know, that's what I mentioned, the voice, between the difference between voice and the instrumental music, vocal music and instrumental music. Wagner did, this kind of, he made the character is put with a kind of motif in the orchestral music. So I just want to make this in voice. You hear the voice, you know he's this character. Character doesn't depend on the instrumental music. His voice express himself, not orchestral music express him as a character. This is what I want to do. Life on a String is different story. I think Life on a String is more Chinese.
Okay. That's what I wanted to ask you. Would you conceive, I mean, is there a development from Oedipus is the most Western opera, and then Death of Oedipus is something in between, and then Life on a String is much more Chinese. I mean, it's kind of a Chinese opera. Do you think so?
But the difference between Life on a String and the real Chinese theater is that Chinese opera, like such as Peking opera, and Sichuan opera, is not a kind of form which controlled by composer.
Yes, of course.
So that's what I say. Opera to me is composer's theater, composer's drama. That's one of the reasons I don't want to write so much instrumental music, such as prelude. Or interview, such kind of things. I just let the drama express itself, and also more concentrated to work on voice, voices. In this case, Life on a String is not a real Chinese theater, but I think I just have some kind of feeling I'm making the tradition alive. So to give new blood or new breath to this tradition. So if we in case that Western opera is written by a composer,
mm-hmm.
then the life function is still like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a combined different daily dialogue and rumbai and singing, everything, the vocalization, the variety of vocalization, that's close to Chinese tradition.
Mm-hmm. So do you see yourself as a reformer? Would you ever compare yourself to Mei Lanfang, for example, and Qi Ruishan and these people who were trying to reform Chinese, like Jingju, Peking
mm-hmm.
opera, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, do you see, with Life on a String at least, and but also with Death of Oedipus,
mm-hmm.
do you see yourself in this kind of line?
And
a line that also goes from the Xingge too, with Bai Mao Nu and this kind of, you know, and even the Yangbanxi. I mean, do you see yourself in a tradition writing operas in Chinese language? Or?
I think I'm in between. Definitely,
uh-huh.
I don't follow the line which like Bai Mao Nu is.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm more in between the traditions, Western tradition and the Chinese tradition.
Uh-huh.
I'm in between.
But Bai Mao Nu in some ways also in between.
I don't.
Different.
I'm glad you mentioned Mei Lanfang,
mm-hmm.
because what I'm doing in Life on a String
mm-hmm.
is, you know, Mei Lanfang, this tradition which is not existing in Western operas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have kind of tenor, the
mm-hmm.
high tenor. What is the name?
Very high tenor. You mean the
counter tenor?
Counter tenor.
Sing as a woman's voice.
Yeah.
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 But it's not in opera.
It's in Baroque opera.
It's about Baroque, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a special person, special kind of people.
Mm-hmm.
Not like Mei Lanfang tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But the Mei Lanfang tradition is that the men play female role.
Mm-hmm.
But in this Life on a String,
mm-hmm.
this singer should be played as female and male.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Everything together. So that's why I said I'm making tradition alive. And making tradition go forward,
mm-hmm.
yeah, alive. But the challenge is that I need a new type of actor.
Mm-hmm.
Even for instance, the singing for Life on a String, he's very good. He's very well trained as Italian opera singer. Now, in the beginning of Dowa's story, he does very well use his falsetto,
mm-hmm.
which he was not confident at all in the beginning. Then I told him, I said, you even don't know yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You were surprised by yourself in the end.
Mm-hmm.
I told him, now he is confident now. Still,
mm-hmm.
when he's singing his own story, you still hear a Western singer.
Mm-hmm.
I wish someday I can.
But do you think somebody like Shikolo could do it?
Yeah, so the problem of him, yeah. So he's not as quick as Gong Dongjie
mm-hmm.
to read the score, and sometimes it's really difficult to see the words very fast, in tempo,
mm-hmm.
and get in the right entrance
mm-hmm.
for the conductor.
Mm-hmm.
Shikolo is very slow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
always making mistakes.
Oh, okay.
And also, what I need is that it's real good actor, good singer. You know the tradition, but I don't want you to be exactly as traditional.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, recently I wrote a piece for my voice and three percussionists.
Mm-hmm.
I used two poems from Su Shi,
mm-hmm.
Su Shi. Because I taught Shikolo in Paris, for instance, the first note I want to use is Xu Sheng Qiang,
mm-hmm.
which is kind of old wise man, this kind of things. Yeah. I asked him to recite it for me. Now he learned exactly like Peking opera. I said, no, I don't want to read that kind of style. But you have to be able to feel you are Su Shi.
Mm-hmm.
You have to feel the poem itself. So we borrow that kind of start to recite, but you still should be able to feel the poem. Also, the atmosphere of the poet when he wrote his poem.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So you're saying tradition can only remain itself if it changes constantly.
Yeah, right.
Is that your point?
Right. And also, and let me see. Because in Western opera, the one thing is very clear. The composer is always a central character to make this happen. But in Chinese opera history, the composer never been important. Then it just stay all the way like that.
But it's dead.
Yeah, right. It's dead also, it's beautiful. It's beautiful. It's well done. For me, it's well done enough. So why should I do that? More interesting for me as a composer or as a creator to do something really interesting new. It's a basic instinct.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. Your opera is very cosmopolitan in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Chinese composer rewriting a Greek tragedy using Tibetan chants.
Mm-hmm.
At one point, a line says, "This should be sung like by an Indian wise man." Is this something that you would consider a tradition for our time, which has grown so cosmopolitan?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about one world.
Mm-hmm.
That's my first question, and my second question:
mm-hmm.
Has this something to do with your living in New York in this very cosmopolitan place? Would you have written the same kind of cosmopolitan style 10 years ago?
No, it's nothing deal. Yes. Related to my living in New York is because I'm able to hear more.
Yes.
My basic idea is that the vocalization in Indian music, in Tibetan music, are very interesting. It shows more variety than Western opera singing style. And also, it's able to dig the depths of human being, human nature. In the individuality of human nature. Also, another thing is that the country like India, like China, like many of Asia countries, the life itself, especially in countryside, you still can feel the man's original contact with nature.
Mm-hmm.
It's very different. That I found out here that when I talk to Western people, when I use countryside, the word, I know that we are talking a different thing.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we use the same word, that's a dangerous of a language.
Mm-hmm.
Because for instance, in West, in Germany, in Holland, in United States, the countryside is already very much developed. For instance, the farmers, they use machine to work.
Yes.
They have a car to drive to anywhere they want to go. And they have a television. They know everything happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to say it's good or not good. But there's one thing clear. The man has lost the close contact with Earth and with nature. That's quite different, very different. So if you listen to the singing, why you feel the singing is interesting, it's really brings out something which is deep in the heart, which is related to nature,
mm-hmm.
even the vocalization. That's what I feel attracted to me, not only Chinese music,
but
not only Muslim
trying
music.
To reach this closeness to nature by doing something very artificial, bringing together all these very different styles that never meet in nature, that are worlds apart.
The one thing is that the arts is not nature.
Mm-hmm.
So for artists, for a composer, actually what you do is your feeling. It's not reality.
Mm-hmm.
For instance, once I give example, now we see this. Maybe we know this, the color is orange or something. Perhaps I have some different feeling. If you drop down, it's there, it's not here. But what I feel is, what has dropped down of orange, it's not important. The important is what I feel.
Mm-hmm.
If we compare with nature, all things which man made is artificial.
Mm-hmm. So you're using this as material for something you want to express. It's very much your inner self.
Yeah, yes, you can say material. You can also use other languages. Language.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Whether you want to rest, because it's already
Okay, let's do that.
I mean, we can always go on, but I don't want to stress.
Mm-hmm. Now we can go a bit further. I think it's a good mood now.
Okay. you just say stop when you want to stop.
Yeah.
We can always continue tomorrow, so it's.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is my last question on this subject of bringing together all these different styles. When I first saw it, I thought it might be some educational process going on, that to show everybody, see all these different types of thinking, all these different philosophies, all the different peoples and countries and languages. In the end, they come together. It is a coincidence of opposites. Chinese, Indian, Greek, it's the same idea. So this is not at all what you wanted to tell me with this opera. You didn't intend any educational
purpose with it. No education paper. No education papers. Actually, I feel what I'm doing in music is that more or less I put what I feel, what I saw in sound. Then what people can receive is very much more or less dependent on their ability. I trust people. I trust must be someone like me. When I feel something. For instance, you like easily to see difference between India culture, Indian religion, or Western religion. But in a very high level, spiritually or religiously, are quite similar. Even in lower level, for instance, almost all religions tell people you should be very kind to people, to others. For instance, just coincidentally, coincidentally, when I wrote this opera, somehow I felt it's related to my life, but without knowing. For instance, I feel I'm in the process, like Oedipus, before he reached the final alignment. I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
So I suppose he did. I haven't.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still in process.
Mm-hmm.
I still have very strong emotion to the lady or the people which I loved. Not necessarily if in front of me, I reach a point, I think I still will love people. There's no doubt about it. But for instance, when I was writing Death of Oedipus, I asked myself, if I one day I reach that, were I composer again? Then, later on, I thought, yes, because that's my life. Zen Buddhism doesn't tell people refuse your life. It's living your life. The question is how? Without any burden. I wish to reach that point.
So
I'm better and better than you.
Making progress.
Approaching. Even still far away.
When did you first discover Zen? In Tibet or before?
I think.
Or
I
when Chiang Kai-go said
no.
Make it a little thin.
Chiang Kai-go?
This wasn't Chiang Kai-go, this was a different film record. You say make it taste a little like Zen, remember?
Oh, that's not that different. I was refused in that time.
Okay.
Yeah. Visit Tibet, which I told you that since I come back from Tibet, I feel I have becoming a religious person, but without particular religion. Just feel close to that, the thing which all religion described in Christian is God, in Buddhism can be Zen or other words. That is only one type of Buddhism. I feel I'm very close to that kind of feeling. But to get in touch with Zen, as particular, this kind of thing, is after I left China. And because many people ask me a question that to live in New York, so how the life there changed my music. It's interesting because New York is really a busy and tough city, very fast tempos, high building, very modernized. But my music, which I have written since I have been living in New York, at least the one side is very, very quiet.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very quiet. And with real few notes. So I felt my music has its own, not my music, the music I have written has its own track. That's interesting. And also, since I left China, I feel more attracted to my own culture tradition, especially Zen Buddhism and Taoism, and also kind of intellectuals which he influenced by those thoughts. For instance, Song Dynasty poems and paintings. So when I write chamber pieces, I think my way to dealing with music, a little bit like what Lao Tzu did, with short phrase. Very limited words, limited sound, in case in music, limited sound. When I'm doing opera, more or less like a drone to tell stories, then you can see the difference between Chinese and West. For instance, a German philosopher, they tell philosophy as concept, then logic, then the whole article. But a Chinese, like a Zhuang Zi, just tell a story. And the Western paintings, when they are in the period of realist, they paint it seem like a real. They want to be real, like look like real. then when they want to do abstract art, they just throw the image away. Yeah. This head or that, nothing in between. But in Chinese, it's different. The story looks like a real, but something behind that, beyond that, is abstract. And even in the traditional paintings, you see many paintings, mountains,
mm-hmm.
and you see clouds.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, painter never painted clouds.
Mm-hmm.
It painted the part which not covered by cloud,
mm-hmm.
but you see clouds. You see clouds. And also, for instance, you know Ba Da Shan Ren,
mm-hmm.
that? Yeah. His painting is really still with image, but you really feel something can be called abstract art. The lines so well done, so very well controlled. No more unnecessary details or whatever number of it. Just so this is the difference between the way of approaching a realistic or abstract form of thinking, I think. I don't know. Maybe not related to your questions.
Yes.
Did you ever think about the fact that Greek tragedy was a religious experience itself and was performed in a religious festival back in the 5th century BC? You can just say no.
No, I never thought about that in religious way.
Mm-hmm.
Because what's interesting in Greek myth is that only difference between men and gods
mm-hmm.
is that gods can live forever.
Mm-hmm.
People have limited life.
Mm-hmm.
So if you count as religion or not religion. Of course, in East, the normal people, ordinary people's understanding of Buddhism is that if you believe in Buddhism, perhaps you get a long life, or you can have good life in the future. Same wish. But it's very, very much dependent on how you, 那个定义怎么讲? How you think of the concept as
definition.
Definition. Yeah.
Okay.
So what's the definition of religion?
Mm-hmm.
Because for instance, some of Buddhists, they said Buddhism is not religion.
But you don't. I think the question Thomas is asking is, in Greece, when the tragedies were written, they were performed
mm-hmm.
within the context of a ritual. Of a religious, I mean, there were a ritual basically.
Uh-huh.
And do you conceive your own opera? Is this
mm-hmm.
what you're asking? Kind of as a ritual, because you also, I mean, you believe in Zen
uh-huh.
in many ways. So if you write a Zen opera, does this mean that the audience is involved in a ritual?
No.
Of Zen?
No.
Like, no.
Actually, Zen has nothing to do with ritual.
Okay.
The Japanese understanding of Zen, they take for instance tea ceremony, like a ritualistic. It's a different understanding. Of course, they are doing very beautifully, but it's already walking away from the essence of Zen. Zen because against any form,
mm-hmm.
not a ritual thing.
Okay.
Everyday's life, everyday's
mm-hmm.
life.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a basic attitude to life and to what we call a spirit or what we call a final freedom.
Mm-hmm.
You can be rich then when you are alive.
Mm-hmm.
Easy to talk,
mm-hmm.
easy to talk. For instance, it's not easy thing to reach. Many people think, oh, this is Zen, about this, about that. Actually, every people is talking about most people are talking about it as knowledge. Yeah. So just like, for instance, if we're talking about God, or what Buddha did is to tell people what he saw. But what he saw actually is cannot be told by language.
Mm-hmm.
Language just surround the subject, not subject itself, actually. So in this case, I'm not doing Zen opera.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just, again, I'm a storyteller.
Mm-hmm.
I only tell stories.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a storyteller, that's it.
But sometimes you tell your own story. When the 1,000 strings.
One of the most well-known parts of Sophocles' Oedipus at Colonus is actually one of the choral songs, where the chorus complains about the burden of old age and says, the most beautiful thing that can be imagined is not to be born at all.
Mm-hmm.
The second most beautiful is, once you've been born,
mm-hmm.
to go back to where you came from as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say this is very Zen-like?
No.
It's not Zen.
No,
mm-hmm.
it's not Zen at all. So let's not talk about Zen. because Zen is just like one kind of Buddhism. So what the purpose, I can, because someone told, I don't know if it's real or not, said that when Buddha sitting sitting below the big tree for 7 days,
mm-hmm.
after that, afterwards, he was hesitating, should I tell people what I feel? But he knew it cannot be told. Everyone has to find themselves. But he still decided to do that, to want to help people to reach the point which he reached. So the way of this is essence, if we're back to talking to Zen, there's a very famous story that the one guy went to a Zen master, say, Zen is. He said, when you are hungry, you eat. When you feel cold, you wear clothes or go to fireplace, something like that. So, and many stories shows the Zen. If you read many stories of Zen, then you understand that the purpose of Zen story, Zen master, just to break your can,
mm-hmm.
break your can. So to help you standing by yourself, mm-hmm. himself. And also not refuse anything.
Mm-hmm.
Not to refuse anything, not okay. If you don't refuse, you don't feel pressure.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing is a burden, I mean.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
So it's not to want nothing,
mm-hmm.
but not to want anything.
And also the one said, because interesting said, once Buddha says to his student, said, if you think about the emptiness as empty, it's not correct. If you think about the emptiness as reality, it's not correct. So it seems very difficult to understand. But if we think about our life experience, for instance, as composer, when I compose, I really forgot who I am.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Qu Xiao Song exists. Yeah. I only feel the itself. So I forgot myself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. This is not difficult when I compose. But in a life, in life, I always remember Qu Xiao Song. That's terrible. Also, yeah, see, when you in the music, you feel the music, the feeling itself is exist. But can you tell your feeling? You can't.
Mm.
It's more or less like an emptiness in between real and unreal. Yeah? So how did we come to this? subject?
Because of the code.
Right.
It's better not to be born.
So
that's why you don't.
Your nose is different.
Yeah, so that's why you don't quote it as well.
Your nose is different.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody is still desiring something, not to born.
Right, right. That's
how did you write the letter? You had the Oedipus and Colonus translation?
Yeah, no, English.
Translation. Which, do you remember which translation you used? Or maybe we can just.
I have a book, but I have to check it.
Yeah, because that would be useful for us.
Right. Yeah, I have to check it.
And then, did you actually take chunks from the text, or? How did you go about doing this?
Okay.
You just read it, and then you thought about it.
First of all, when I read through this play, for instance, I drop something like what we're just discussing, and also another thing I feel is that too many words. Too many words. I don't need that much. So I cut down so much.
Mm-hmm.
And also some details for this as daughters, which is because
it's different.
Different. And also the story, I done maybe
2/3.
So just, I just want to use that. The action happened in that play, and also it's 20 years late than Oedipus Rex. Those kind of suggestions, and also the end of his life, those kind of suggestions to make this. And also, I might took some words from that play, but I made some play, some scene really new. For instance,
the
conversation.
But. Were you attracted, because that's the one thing Thomas always says when he reads the tragedies, he's always, are they so beautiful?
Yes.
Were you attracted to the words? I mean, there's only a translation, but then at least sometimes it captures some of the original.
Yes, words, and also the faction, the fact of tragedy. And then, later on, since I have been very strongly influenced by them and the thinking, or the way of thinking of life, so if one experiences tragedy or suffering, then go beyond, reach the freedom, then the tragedy is not tragedy, suffering is not suffering, it's just a process. But if someone cannot go beyond, still stay in emotional level, so tragedy is a real tragedy. The suffering is a real suffering. As I mentioned, the beast. That's the point. So in the beginning, I was attracted by tragedy itself. Then later, I wanted to go beyond tragedy.
But tragedy, I mean, why did you not write an opera about Shakespeare, for example? This goes back to the question Thomas asked about the universality. Don't you find that with some of the things that you're saying through Death of Oedipus, which is basically that Oedipus can be conceived of as a Zen monk, or as in someone who attains to Samidhamma, or whatever you want to call it, enlightenment. But he is a great figure.
The one thing is that because ancient Greek myth and tragedy is more long time ago, and also inside of those stories you feel much more message, because much more message can be discovered.
Even more than Shakespeare play, you think?
I think so.
What else? I have some questions still about whether you know about other Oedipus and Oedipus of Colonus plays, because there's, for example, there's one play by a guy called Rendra, not a play, but an opera, by an Indonesian writer called Rendra. And he conceives of Oedipus as a Javanese monk. So it's a very similar thing. I only read about it. It's in the 70s.
I don't know anything about that.
You don't know about right? And then apparently there's a rather new one which reads Oedipus kind of as a gospel writer.
Yeah.
So that's from the 80s, mid-80s. But you just wrote your own Oedipus.
Right. I actually, the interesting thing is that one friend in New York, American, he knew I was writing Oedipus at Colonus. That's for Oedipus. He introduced me a CD, as gospel music, Oedipus at Colonus.
Right.
Now here that I felt very disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Because the music is like all kind of black people's music, in, you know, nothing really special. So they use this story, but just use ordinary language to do it. So it's not creative, not interesting. Just like, so in this case, this story just a story. Just a story. Nothing could be.
Okay, but other ones you didn't hear, there's apparently one by Roy Travis. Schrenek wrote a sort of introductory music.